This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله حمد الشاكرين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا نبينا محمد في الأولين، وصل وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد في الآخرين. اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا محمد في الملأ الأعلى يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم علمنا ما جهلنا من القرآن العظيم، وذكرنا منه ما نسينا. اللهم بارك لنا في القرآن، واجعله شافعا لنا يوم القيامة يوم الدين يا أرحم الراحمين. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in beginning and end to make us from those who are praiseworthy, from those who are praising of Him, thankful to Him, honoring of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assists us in the good that we seek to do and protects us from the harm that befalls people in this life and into the next. Allahumma ameen. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you and I from those who are virtuous, those who are blessed with the sunnah and the following of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim tasliman kathira. MashaAllah, it's with great pleasure, alhamdulillah, that we continue the Grill the Imam series, MashaAllah. This is the second last Grill the Imam session. SubhanAllah. And for those of you who have been enrolled, mashallah, in the online Islamic summer school, I hope that it was of great benefit. And as you're gearing up to getting back to school in North America, in Europe, in Canada, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps you safe, protects you from harm, that you are able to return to a sense of normalcy. I know it's been a little bit difficult. A lot of our people in Australia and Melbourne, for example, have been restricted from their schooling for the last little while. And I pray that Allah gives them ease and patience and assists those who teach them to that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the remainder of our year 2020 and make it one of comfort and ease for all of us and our families. Allahumma ameen. I will open up the Q&A, not just for the students via the Telegram service, mashallah, that I normally receive your questions on, but you can also send them as you're listening to this live on Facebook as well, inshallah. Let's begin with the first question. How can I make myself not care about what other people do, especially if some of it might hurt me, like friends ignoring my messages or other things like that? Okay, so that's an important kind of question, and it's not always the best thing to ignore. I want you to understand that if somebody has hurt you, the best thing is to actually speak to them. It's not necessarily a group of people, but it could be one person who you feel needs to hear what you have to say. And it doesn't have to be spoken by you in an emotional capacity, but it could be written by you, or it could be shared as a message, and just say to them, you know, I know we're all busy at times, and sometimes when I message you that you haven't responded to something that I've sent. So that kind of, you know, makes me feel bad. So it might be something that you actually address with one person. Certainly don't make it an issue amongst many others, but it should be something that you do address and that you feel that you're trying to resolve it in that sense. However, for the first part of the question, how can I make myself not care about what other people do? That's actually a really important art that you will learn as you continue to mature in your relationship with Allah and in understanding the way fate works in our life. Allah tests us with good and bad, with good people, with bad people in our life, with good experiences and with difficult experiences in our life. All of it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, And it becomes important for you and I to kind of set ourselves with Allah, that what makes us feel good is something that is pleasing to Allah, and what makes us feel bad because it's something that's not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's ultimately the direction you want to be, that you love for Allah and that you have anger for Allah, that you have restraint for Allah, that you have patience for Allah, and it's led to you in that sense. So how can you make yourself not care about what other people do? It's not that you don't care about it, is that you understand in the scheme of things that Allah is always witness. So if somebody has done something wrong, that you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unaware. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلٌ عَمَّا. Don't believe or think that Allah is unaware of what somebody may have done. That you keep that in mind, you keep that in your heart. So that's and I hope a helpful clarification. Is it bad to make religion jokes? Yes, absolutely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran about those who were mocking some of the aspects of faith. There were قُلْ أَبِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. Say, do you mock or that you make jest of the verses and the signs that Allah has sent? And therefore, it is not just a sin, but it's considered one of the kaba'ir, one of the major sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds a person accountable to and can lead a person actually away from Islam and take a person out of the fold of Islam. If they are making statements of kufri, you could not simply say, oh, I was just joking. So if a person was to mock the Prophet ﷺ, as happened in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, some people were sitting there were saying, we don't know who is more dumb, our donkey or us, for doing some of the things that we've been asked by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that was a sign of their hypocrisy. And one of the Muslims heard this and said, Wallahi, I will inform the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of what you said. And Allah had actually already sent verses in the Quran that they will say, oh, we were innama nakhudu wa nal'ab, we were just joking and playing around and messing around, we weren't being serious. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, walaqad qalu kalimat al-kufr, rather they said a word of disbelief. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. Allahumma ameen. Is it haram to be friends with ex-Muslims? So the answer isn't a really, yes or no. It is haram if being friends with someone is going to take away your iman and not seeking to protect yourself. It is haram to be with friends with someone who is mocking the religion, mocking our Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is definitely haram to be in the company and to sit and to engage with somebody who has this attitude towards Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, if you mean to be friends with somebody who is having a crisis of faith and isn't really sure about certain things, and I'm not really sure, then the answer is no. It might be something good for you to lead them along the way, and if your influence of to them is greater, then it may even be recommended for you to help them come and rediscover their faith, as we are friends with even non-Muslims, where we seek to bring them closer to faith. But I could tell you that it could be a more serious issue to be friends with an ex-Muslim than with somebody who has no faith at all, because the ex-Muslim legitimizes their kufr. And they seek to lead other people away from Allah. May Allah protect you and return them to their asla, to their foundations of faith, and open their heart to truth. Allahumma ameen. Salam Sheikh, I was wondering what I must do if I wake up for Fajr and I just had a wet dream. Before you pray, there must be ghusl, there must be a bathing. And the ritual bathing does not necessarily mean a full shower. So the ritual bathing is that water touches all parts of your body and that there is a wudu component that's made. And very simply, actually, just that you intend to remove the state of ritual impurity, being in a state of janabah, just to let water touch all parts of your body. And it doesn't have to be a huge amount of water. At the time of the Prophet, they would make their whole ghusl with 8 to 10 of these amounts of water. So if you were to, just even fill up a sink and then just put water and tafidul ma and drop water from your hair and just scrub all parts of your body, then that's enough. It doesn't have to be that you turn on the shower or you jump in a bath. So that it's as simple as that, inshallah. But you cannot pray knowing that you are ritually impure in a state of janabah. It is considered unacceptable. Is it wrong to have photos on my wall with faces on them? I do not believe that there is any error in that. The concept of surah or picture at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reserved for icons or things that are viewed in terms of adoration, worship, and things that are honored in that capacity. So al-musawwir, the person who is fashioning icons, fashioning photos, fashioning things that other people will worship. So being an idol maker is the concept of yusawwir. But a photo that captures light of your reflection bouncing off you, that is captured on paper, that is a memento of an occasion or of a moment in your life or of a trip you took, I don't believe that that's changing the creation of Allah or calling people to worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, I don't believe that there's anything wrong with that, inshallah. Certainly, you wouldn't want to have a portrait that people say, oh, this is our grandfather. He's looking down at us. Somebody's passed away. So that kind of photo is something that you would not have, inshallah. How can I educate fellow Muslims about what they might say about Jewish people that is rude and offensive? We don't have any problems actually with Jewish people. As Muslims, our greatest concern is with Zionism, which is a political ideology that many, many Jews reject. Judaism is a practice of faith that is closest to us as Muslims out of all of the other monotheistic faiths. And they are people who honor God, who honor their prayers, who are conservative in their outlook, who we value a great deal of their history as a part of our history as believers. And if you were born in an era that was at, the time of Isa alayhi salam, or Jesus or Zachariah, or all the way back to Musa alayhi salam and Yusuf, you would have been from those who practice the faith of Hudna ilayk. Hud means repenters. To us, that is the concept of being a Yahudi, one who repents and returns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we don't have a problem with Jewish people. We do have a problem with those who cause oppression to others, whether it's Hindu nationalists who are seeking the extermination of Muslims in certain parts and parcels of India to erase the history of Islam from there, or whether it is Zionist entities that are seeking to occupy and further occupy lands in the blessed land, or it is the criminal murdering genocidal behavior of Myanmar officials and soldiers who are under a Buddhist claiming a Buddhist priesthood that wants to exterminate all of the ethnic Muslims from that area in Myanmar and in Burma, then those are all people that we oppose. In equal terms, we oppose Muslims who are extremists in their behavior and their outlook, who seek to hurt and bomb and to hurt other people. So our opposition is not with the faith. Lakum dinukum waliya din. To you is your religion and to me is mine. Man sha'a falyu'min wa man sha'a falyakfur. The one who wishes to believe in our faith believes, the one who doesn't, doesn't. But it is the politicization of ideals and beliefs that are bringing harm to humanity. May Allah protect us, Ya Rab. Sometimes I'm very confused about some hadith that are contradicting each other. So the question is, they're not contradicting each other. They seem to you, because you are not yet learned, to be contradicting each other. And they may seem to me even to be contradicting each other, but they are resolved by the ulama in different ways. So there is a flow chart of how we deal with hadith that are mushkil. Mushkil means ambiguous, or hadith that are not easily discernible and understood. And these, Mushkil Athar, books, one of the earliest books was written by Imam Shafi'i. It's one of the first ways that he became recognized. He has a wonderful volume called Ikhtilaf al-Hadith, how hadith may have seemed contradictory to each other, but that are easily resolved. So it could be resolved that one abrogates the other, that one was heard by some Sahaba and one was heard by the other, but the Prophet had prescribed one thing for one group of people and another thing for others, that the verses of the Quran came to separate between them, that there was an early practice and a later practice. If you were to read verses from the Quran where Allah says, don't pray while you're drunk, you would assume, oh, it's okay to drink as long as I pray when I'm not drunk. But then there are other verses that came after. So there's also the concepts that relate to a nasikh and mansukh. Then there are issues that relate to which hadith are more sound than other narrations. And then there's the study of nomenclature of hadith, of separating the authentic from the unauthentic. And not because somebody said qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that that actually means the Prophet said. One of the next modules in the next installment of the online school, inshallah, is I will do a program called Did the Prophet Say That? How we know the Prophet said what he said, what people say he said. And I hope, inshallah, you can follow along with that as you've been following along with the Islamic school, inshallah. All right. So the hadith are not the issue, it's our understanding or whether we have learned enough to reconcile them or not. Is it haram to draw girls without hijab? No. Thank you for everything you do. How can I motivate myself to be more productive during the day and not sleep all day? Oh man, it would be nice, mashallah, to sleep all day. But we were created for something that's a little bit more serious than that. So what I would get you to do is become more task-oriented and more achievement-oriented, that what it is that you want are things that you know you can accomplish. And that's why, making your bed in the morning is your first task, right? So once you accomplish that, hey, I've already gotten one thing off my list, and, putting in a laundry load or separating my laundry, task, So make for yourself tasks that allow you, that are achievable. And once they're achieved, then there's a sense of reward in your mind, but you can also reward yourself. So if I do these first five things, then I can, play a video game, or I can go out for a walk, or I can, do one of these, fun activities that I want to do, or I can sleep for half an hour, right? But certainly oversleep could be also a sign that something is not right in your body regulating itself. It's probably also an indictment that you're going to sleep really late in the evening, because you would not build to sleep out throughout the day if you're actually having rest by night. So definitely get yourself checked out as well, inshallah. Is Sufism part of Islam? Yes, absolutely. Sufism is definitely a part of Islam. Some of the greatest ulama of the past and even into the present are those who are practitioners of Sufism. But it depends what you mean by Sufism. The essence of being a Sufi was one who kind of turned away from the excesses of the world, that they said, listen, I don't want to get involved in this overly enrichment and pursuit of this worldly life. So I'm going to declutter my life. And I don't want to have as many possessions. So they were referred to as the people of wool, the people who wore wool clothing. And they took that from Isa alayhi salam, who was very simple, and Yahya alayhi salam, who was very simple. That's part of the concept of Sufism. Other people said, that the concept of Sufism is that they were those who wanted to separate from other people who had excesses in their life. So some of the great scholars who benefited the ummah practiced a sense of tazkiyah. So the proper word for it is the science of purification, purifying your intent, purifying your heart. So just like in my module, purity, we spoke about the purity of the body. There's also tazkiyah, which is the purity of the mind and soul, how to get yourself oriented that you protect yourself from some of the vices of the heart, anger and malice and hatred. And when Sufism is practiced right, the really correct word for it is the sunnah. So you're following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why, you know, the name itself is kind of problematic. You won't have a lecture maybe for myself called, you know, let's practice Sufism. I would rather say to you, let's practice the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the essence of what Sufism is meant to be. Now, of course, there's also the Sufism that goes beyond the teachings of the Sunnah and the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ. And these are people who have mechanized a ritual practice for their own advantage, for financial gain, for political gain, for power over people and making them feel, I am the Pir and I'm the Mawlana and I'm the Sheikh and you are the murid and you are like a dead body in front of me. Whatever I say to you, you do. All of those kind of things don't have a true origin in the practice and the teaching of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is there a hadith that talks about what we should do to help us control our eating? Yes, the Prophet sallallahu said a third, a third, a third, a third for food, a third for water, and a third for air. And that's very sound hadith, subhanAllah. It's whatever you eat, just one third of it should be solid. And I want you to kind of think about that. So only a third of your intake of what you put through your mouth should be a solid in the day. And so you want to have more liquid. So you want to have more soups, you want to have more smoothies and shakes, and you want to have a lot more water, at least 2 liters of water. To gain full function of your kidneys and your liver and to detox. There's actually a program that I will shoot soon. May Allah make it easy for us, inshallah, about wellness and how to find our better physical self and our better self, inshallah. All right. So those are some of the questions there. Okay, there's some more. Is it okay to read about other people's religions? It's okay to always read and to read widely. What I would say, of course, is begin with your own. You know, begin reading with, you know, certainly I would encourage you to read the entirety of the Quran in a language that you can understand. Certainly, I would encourage you to read some of the important texts that we have as Muslims and to have a guided reading that somebody is assisting you along the way. So if you're going to read the Bible, I would say to you, no, actually invest your time in the Quran and read more than one translation and become more familiar with it. If you're going to read, you know, those kind of things, I would, you know, give you a greater background in Islam before you go towards other things. But certainly it's not haram to read about other people's faith practice. It'll actually strengthen your faith to recognize the simplicity of Islam, the simplicity of our teachings, and the ease by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conveyed the truth to our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is there dua I can make for me and my family so that we can remain true and pious? Yes, all of the dua actually come back towards that. And of the greatest of dua is Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min nar. Oh Allah, we ask you the way to be from the people of Jannah, which is to make our life adjusted to Islam. Oh Allah, we ask you to protect us from hellfire, to protect us from the punishment of Jahannam. So make that a regular part of your dua. And the dua of Surah Al-Fatiha is the essence of asking Allah for guidance. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Oh Allah, lead us to the straight path, the path of those who followed your way of truth and not the path of those who came before us, who angered you by leaving the true path, even though they knew it, or those who were misguided and didn't know which way to turn and which way to go. So that is the greatest dua, to invite Allah, invite others to the path of Allah, and to keep you and your family firm upon truth. Also the dua of Ibrahim, Rabbi ja'alni muqima salah wa min dhurriyati rabbana wa taqabbal dua. Oh Allah, make me regular in my prayers and my family. Oh Allah, protect us and answer this dua. Would you recommend reading a translation of Sahih Hadith by myself? Yes, absolutely. I tried once, but it made me confused and conflicted. So certainly I would begin with a simpler book. It depends which book that you were reading. So begin with the book, the 40 Hadith of Imam Nawawi, and you can actually read it with its commentary. So there's a really good commentary by Jamal Zarabozo, 40 Hadith of Imam Nawawi, and a commentary on it. It's probably a wonderful, wonderful book series to start, even just the 40 Hadith on their own. Those are, you know, really important books. But you might want to read guided books. A little bit of self-promotion. I have a book called The Tearful Moments of the Life of the Prophet ﷺ. So it's every hadith where the Prophet was moved to tears. And then I explain how it's relevant to you and I in our time today. So I highly recommend that book, Tearful Moments of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And you could get it through Tertib Press. You could get it easily, inshallah, shipped to you. So that would be a good book. Another book that I recommend, one of my own as well, is called Love Stories from the Quran. I think it would be of great value, and something that, you know, will lead you to understanding a little bit more depth into how our faith works. Or certainly go through a hadith series, but listen to its explanation in some of the videos that are being done. All of that will give a greater clarity to it, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us. This is where I'll bring to an end our discussion. It's nearly Fajr time here in Perth. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I'll see you again later on in about 5 to 10 hours from now, inshallah, for our final session. For those of you who have been asking, yes, the online Islamic summer school will be kept open until October, inshallah. So if you're behind with some of the lessons, we're not going to switch off tomorrow. Don't worry. Bi-ibnillahi ta'ala. All right. I hope you have a wonderful day. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.